This is Ozarks at Large. Recently, Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas sat down with Governor Mike Beebe for a 30-minute wide-ranging conversation as he fielded questions from Arkansans via Twitter, Facebook, and email. With the legislative session opening earlier this week, one obvious place to start was by asking, does the private option save the state $89 million as advertised?
We actually already saved that money and gave it back to the taxpayers in the form of tax decreases. What happened was we were able, because of the private option, to reduce the amount of money we were spending in uncompensated care, to reduce money we were sending to UAMS, reduce money we were sending to organizations, moving some people that we were having to pay 30% on for straight Medicaid over to the private option, which we ended up having to pay 0% on. Mm-hmm. The combination of all those moves saved state general revenue in between $80 and $90 million. But the legislature said, you know, if we're going to save $80 or $90 million, let's give it back to the people. So we passed tax decreases in the last session that are graduated. But for the upcoming fiscal year, the amount of those tax decreases, the amount saved by taxpayers and cut from the budget, is between $80 and $90 million, about $86, $88, $89 million, depending on how the revenue flows. Mm-hmm. And so that money's already been spent by giving it back to the taxpayers. That money is no longer available in the budget. If you don't have the private option, then the money that you saved and the money that you otherwise have given back to the people and those folks that are now being paid for by the private option will no longer be paid that way. Theoretically, they'd go back to straight Medicaid and be paid on the basis of the 30%. And or those folks who were not being paid for uncompensated care because now they were getting paid for through the private option for the services that were being rendered will now have to be paid for those services. Where are you going to get that $89 million? That's how that works. But the private option created a reduction in what we were having to spend to the tune of between $80 and $90 million, and that money's already been spent in the form of tax relief.
It's earmarked, but the bulk of it
is
earmarked.
No, it's already been passed.
Some of it has. Right, but it hasn't been spent yet. It's in the fiscal 2015 budget, the tax cuts.
Yes, but when you reduce the revenue coming in based on those taxes and give it back in the form of tax relief, then that reduces the amount of money that the state would otherwise have received. And you've got to forecast that because we can't run a deficit.
Right. I'm just trying to be clear that the bulk of those tax cuts have not been, they're not in people's pockets yet, but they are earmarked to be
earmarked
in people's pockets.
To be in people's pockets starting July 1st.
Right.
Part of them are already in people's pockets because part of them were implemented in the last fiscal year, a small amount, about $10 million, between $8 and $10 million. That goes up to between $86 and $89 million starting July 1st. And then in fiscal 2016, they did way more than I told them they should have done. It goes to $140 to $150 million in tax relief, tax cuts that take effect a year from July. So they got an even bigger problem.
But you did sign that into law.
I signed it into law, but I said they've got an opportunity to fix that next January.
Lots of discussion about the fate of the private option funding going into this next fiscal year. Kind of give me an assessment of where you think it stands at this point in time.
You know, it's like it was last time. It's close. Anytime you have to have 75%, these other states don't have to deal with a 75% requirement.
Right.
And if we had a 51%, if we had a majority requirement, this wouldn't even be a close question. If we had a 70% requirement, it wouldn't be a close question. But when you've got to get 75% in each house, that's 75 out of 100 House members, 27 out of 35 senators, that's tough to get for just about anything, much less something that might be controversial. And so the loss of one vote here or one vote there puts a lot of stuff in jeopardy or a lot of stuff in peril. So it's just like it was last time. It took three or four or five votes to get to 77 in the House. It took a lot of negotiation to get over 27 to get to 28 in the Senate. And so you got 28 out of 35 in the Senate last time, 77 out of 100 in the House. You lose one or two in the Senate, you got an issue. You lose one or two in the House, you got an issue. So it'll be just like it was last time. It'll be a close vote.
It appears that the Senate is where the battle is going to be, at least at this point in time, when you look at kind of the lay of the land. Am I inaccurate in that observation?
I think there's a battle everywhere.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, anytime you're dealing with those extraordinarily high numbers, because what happens is you can have a small majority of nine people that stop it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have an overwhelming majority of people for it and a small minority that might end up with like 9 that could stop the whole thing.
It seems to have some popular opinion in polling that we have done. Would you consider taking it to the people if the legislature doesn't pass it?
No, I'll be gone. You're talking about an initiated mm-hmm. act. Somebody might at some point, but I still believe in the legislative process. I still think the legislature is going to deal with logic and money and arithmetic, as I say, or as Clinton used to say. The ideology is one thing, and you can hate Obamacare and you can hate what they're doing in Washington. What Arkansas did in a bipartisan manner, Republicans and Democrats leading together, is to take something and make something better out of it. It's the alternative to the strict Obamacare. It's something different. And it's now being copied by Republican legislatures and Republican governors across the country, the most recent being Utah.
Right. Fairly conservative state. Utah.
Fairly my foot. The governor of Utah said they want to do just what Arkansas did.
So here's a theory that's been advanced. Representative David Meeks was a guest on our Capitol View program this past weekend, and he said that he thought that the battle would be to potentially extend the funding in the fiscal session so that policy changes could be made in the regular legislative session in 2015. Do you think that that might be the bridge to get the votes that are needed, is to make some promises on policy changes? I know you won't be there.
I can't make promises I'm not going to be able to keep because I won't be there. It's the reason they're having to do this again is one legislative year doesn't bind the next legislative year. So they're always free to make changes. They're always free to tweak or improve or do whatever they need to do to make things fit for the people of Arkansas. That option always exists and would exist whether there's an agreement or not.
So what's your strongest argument for people sitting on the fence or legislators who are opposed to re-upping the funding?
There's not one argument. There's a multiplicity of arguments. First of all, let's talk about the people. You're going to have, by the time they start voting on this, 100,000 people that have got health care that never had health care before. These aren't deadbeats. These are working folks that work for people who do not carry insurance, and they don't make enough money to be able to have their own individual policies. These are people 19 to 64 years of age who traditionally are out there that just can't afford, or their employers don't provide health insurance. That's one aspect. Secondly, and a lot of people don't want to hear this, but it's been documented across the country. It's estimated about $38 million is going to be the actual cost to businesses in Arkansas that would be saved if we do the private option. They won't have to pay those penalties under Obamacare. Thirdly, the hospitals are paying for this whether we take it or not. Under what they did in Washington, Medicare reimbursements for hospitals are reduced to help pay for Medicaid expansion, or in our case, to pay for the private option. So the hospitals are going to pay for it whether we take it or not. It's $28 million a year. That's each year just to UAMS alone, and that applies to every hospital. The two big Jonesboro hospitals, they said the $8 million estimate that we talked about that they would lose without this is a conservative estimate. There will be people laid off. There will be some small hospitals that may or may not make it as a result of this. Then there's also the issue of whether or not you want to pay for another state. You know, we're going to pay this. None of this is a free lunch. Arkansans are paying for it. Arkansas hospitals are paying for it. Arkansas businesses are paying for it, whether we take it or not. And I've used the analogy over and over, Roby. I think you've heard me use it, that it's like paying that 18.5 cents a gallon federal gas tax that we pay every time we pump gas into our tank and saying we don't want our federal highway money back. Send ours to California. Send it to New York. They need help with their highways. We're in great shape. Don't give us any of our tax money back. So there's not one reason. There's a ton of reasons why you ought to do this, not the least of which is the actual people.
That was Governor Mike Beebe speaking with Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business Arkansas. You can see an extended version of this conversation at talkbusiness.net. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by AT&T, encouraging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com. Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com.
And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas, diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity, backed up with fuel diversity. Coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. Their mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent anti-business legislation, regulation, and rules. Learn more at ArkansasStateChamber.com.